Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I'm here to announce, for the first time in public, the vice president of American Right to Life, Steve Curtis. Steve, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, I've just got shivers.
Steve.
I'm glad to be here, Bob.
The encouragement and support is coming in from around the country. And when people are finding out what American Right to Life is about, I mean, the principles of the organization actually quoting the Bible, that we're made in God's image and God's likeness, pro-lifers are ecstatic.
Well, they are, because for the first time in many, many years, they've got a national organization that is political in nature that will give them the opportunity to not have to constantly compromise their positions on the most important issue that we've got, really, which is being pro-life. Mm. They don't have to follow the national right to life, focus on the family. Who's the guy? Pat Robertson model that
Jay
constantly,
Sekulow.
Yeah, that just constantly is saying, let's you people compromise on your morals and on every issue that's near and dear to your heart, so that we in Washington can continue to have access and hobnob with these bigwigs, because we really like this lifestyle. So they're asking us to, in a sense, put your soul in jeopardy so that they can have a good time partying in Washington, D.C.
A great tragedy. And now where are we at? Even National Right to Life's attorney, James Bopp, he's admitted for the first time I've seen in a recent memo that even Antonin Scalia rejects the right to life and thinks that if people want to legalize abortion, that's fine with him.
Well, National Right to Life right now really is a ship without a rudder. On one hand, they will admit, I mean, when you really comes down to it point by point, they're all coming around to understanding what's been said on this show, certainly for several months now, that things like the partial birth abortion ban do not advance the cause of life. In fact, they probably do more harm than good. Justices like Scalia and Thomas have real question marks when it comes to whether or not they're right to life. Roberts and Alito are an absolute abject failure of this president to be pro-life. And now they even have to get to the point where the record of George Bush is going to have to come into focus here, and they're going to have to, at one point or another here, admit that this guy, George Bush, is not pro-life, he never was pro-life, and he never was a conservative. This is going to be a tough pill for them to swallow, because, as we know, for the last 10 years, this has been the model, pushing the George Bush model. We need this kind of a justice that will do this kind of a thing. All those things have not panned out. Mm-hmm. They got all the right people in, according to their model.
Yeah, right.
All the right people, did all the right things, and the result is everything is an abject failure.
Mm-hmm. So, Steve, you said that American Right to Life, not only is it unashamedly Judeo-Christian in its principles, but it's also a political organization. So I'd like to talk through the candidates running right now, and to start with the ones who are going for the Republican nomination who say that they're pro-life. And most of these guys are blatant liars. But one that answered wonderfully in a recent debate, October 9th Republican debate in Dearborn, Michigan, and he was asked by Chris Matthews, I'm talking about Tom Tancredo. He gave quite an answer to this question. I'd like to talk this through with you.
Can I just say one thing about Tom Tancredo? Going back 10 years ago, when I was the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, and Tom Tancredo was elected while I was, for the first time, to the Congress when I was the state chairman. But I can remember back then that the next morning after the election, and this was an election where I was not a popular state chairman. By the time the election came around, I had already refused to endorse Bill Owens, and who was the nominee for governor and who actually won the governorship that night. But the next morning, of all the candidates that we had helped out of the state party get elected, and there were scores of them, Tom Tancredo was one of a very few that actually came down there. This guy had just been elected to Congress, and he just said, you know, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I always remembered how humble he was, and he knew that we were out there slugging, because if you'll remember back then, Tom Tancredo was not the Republican establishment's choice for Congress for the 6th Congressional District. In fact, I don't think he would have been in their top three in the primary that year. So the fact that Tom Tancredo now is still kind of bucking the trend, still kind of speaking his mind, and still not compromising to go along with the Republican establishment on this tells me that he's been, to a great extent, true to himself. I mean, I really haven't followed his career in Congress, down to the letter, but it tells me that this is the same guy I knew 10 years ago.
Except for his – right, and his signature issue – and the truth about his campaign website and his congressional website on his position on abortion, it's, you know, reasonably vague. I'm pro-life. I'm against abortion. And we've heard that for so many decades now from people who are even pro-abortion. So we need more substance in the commitment to not regulate child killing, to not support leaders who are pro-abortion, to not choose leaders for a cabinet who are pro-abortion.
Well, this is where a true pro-life national group would come in, because we have to remember that, for example, National Right to Life is headquartered in Washington, D.C. for a reason. They have access there. And when you're a Republican congressman being lobbied by the pro-life side in Washington, D.C., you're going to hear from the people that have offices there. National Right to Life. Any of the groups like Gary Bauer's group, I'm sure Dr. Dobson's group, any of those groups, all the groups that are in Virginia there, they're all going to have people there in Washington, and they're all pretty much on the same page. I mean, we hear Dr. Dobson say things, but we also know that when it comes down to the actual actions of Focus on the Family,
they've been very discouraging for some years.
They're very discouraging to pro-lifers. They're very hostile to the legitimate pro-life movement, and they have become part of that pro-life industry that just seeks to perpetuate the problem because, let's face it, they're all making a very nice living at it.
Well, we've estimated that the partial birth abortion ban effort took in about $250 million for pro-life campaigns, pro-life fundraisers, mailings going out mentioning partial birth abortion, and we need your money, in about over a 15-year period, about $250 million have come in for that. And you know what? Those efforts never said, now this ban has no authority to stop a single abortion.
Right.
And that's why millions of Christians, we know by extrapolating from the hundreds we've talked to, and even the leaders we've talked to, who said, well, I thought this ended all late-term abortion. They were misled. But $250 million changed hands.
Right.
In the meantime. So,
I guess my point in this is that even though, say, Tom Tancredo or any other candidate's website may not make the points that we're bringing forward now.
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to hold that against him, and I don't think anybody in a sense of fairness would, until he's had the opportunity to at least once hear. It's like you wouldn't condemn somebody for not being a Christian if you had never shared the message of Christ with them.
Yeah, right.
I mean that would be blatantly unfair. They might not even know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I think there are many people, many pro-lifers, politicians, who would be the strong no compromise leader that inside they want to be, but they've never heard that from not even Focus on the Family, certainly not Jay Sekulow or Americans United for Life or National Right to Life. They haven't heard it. What they've heard is, we want to regulate child killing. We want to wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby. Sign this paper, then you could kill the baby.
Bob, I was brought up in that model. I mean, I first got involved in the Right to Life movement through Republican politics. And I thought I was, I mean, the way I was attacked by the left of my own party, I thought for sure I was on solid pro-life ground. Mm. When I stepped down from the chairmanship and got on the board of Colorado Right to Life, I found out that to a great extent, I was never even pro-life. because I had bought into that. And my initial response was, number one, I was angry because I had been taken down a path. Number two, I was angry at myself because I hadn't really thought it through, and it was so important I should have done that. But I think I think what that told me is that we really have to focus on letting these guys know what the other side of the pro-life movement's all about, the legitimate side, the side that really does want to stop abortion, not the side that's looking to make a decent living, have a nice paycheck, live in an upscale metropolitan area, and have access to politicians and go to lots of parties, because that's really what National Right to Life has become. You know, when you get down to the work about National Right to Life and you really look at it, they don't support personhood legislation, which is the only thing in law that will ever protect an unborn child. It's right. The only thing.
They oppose it.
They oppose it.
They've endorsed Fred Thompson. Every interview he does, he's been hitting their talking points.
He has no idea where he stands on the issue. It's either he doesn't know where he stands on the issue of life, which is unbelievable,
right?
Or he is so uncomfortable trying to act like a conservative, but the man trips over his words. He says, I don't know. I'll have to study that. Well, we haven't looked into that. The man didn't know about Terri Schiavo, for goodness sake.
Right. He agrees with one reporter that she was brain dead. He's on the wrong side of killing Terri Schiavo at the time it was happening. Every time he gets in front of a microphone, the thing he says is, I'm against the Human Life Amendment. I'm against the Human Life Amendment. What other industry in the history of the world would support a guy who is against their entire platform?
Well, exactly. Well, a Human Life Amendment, if passed and upheld in this country, would put National Right to Life and American Right to Life out of business. And we would love to go out of business.
The difference is we have lives we want to go to.
Well, exactly.
They have retirement plans.
Exactly. Exactly. And they don't want to go out of business, and that would do it. So they can't, I mean, any more than the pro-choicers can't let the pro-life movement get a foothold into something. You know, a National Right to Life, for the same reason, can't, because they're all bought into the system by which they derive their livelihood.
Yeah, they become part of the establishment, and the pro-aborts could live with National Right to Life for the next 80 years. They could coexist with National Right to Life for 80 more years. James Bopp said in Washington a few weeks ago, they said, well, if now's not the right time, and 30 years ago is not the right time, when will be the right time to fight for personhood, to end abortion? And he said, well, in 35 years.
Yeah, which is just an astonishing statement, because, you know, what that really says is that for the last 35 years, they've been completely ineffective. You know, when you really think about it, what have we, under the National Right to Life model, accomplished in the last 35 years? Bob, I mean, being as honest as I can be here, not a thing. Not a thing. The National Right to Life model has never saved a single child. You know, they oppose the personhood amendment. They also don't like sidewalk counselors. You know,
yeah,
I mean, they're part of that group. I mean, you could go right now to another radio station down the dial and hear a good, strong Christian, you know, talk show host that everybody thinks is just, you know, so strong on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he'll say, I don't agree with those tactics. You know, and you know him, and I know him, and we love him like a brother.
Mm-hmm.
But they are comfortable. They are comfortable being part of a model that says flat out that I am more in line. I mean, my thinking is more opposed to you using that tactic than to giving that tactic the opportunity to make a change that our way of doing it has never been able to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, think of Ken and Joe Scott at Denver Bible Church and the pro-lifers who helped them. You know, a number from Denver Bible Church, some from other churches. In an average year, they save over 100 babies from being killed at Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine in Denver. That's in the last 7 years, that's 700 kids actually saved.
Right.
And what budget is there for that? They don't take collections. They don't have a budget. And compare that to $250 million that has helped to fund Focus on the Family, Jay Sekulow, and National Right to Life, and Americans United for Life. And how many babies are saved by the partial birth abortion ban?
Yeah, this is
zero.
Yeah, this is unfortunately one of those times when American Right to Life is going to have to spend so much time tearing down this veil of you know, hey, we're on the right side here, we're doing the right thing. The National Right to Life has spent 3.5 decades building, you know, and we're going to have to tear down this model that says this is the way you do things, and we're going to have to poke holes in every single one of those things because they always end with the same thing. Then you can kill the baby. And see, and that really, and the final point in everything that they ever do tells you where their heart is. Their heart is, let's just keep this thing going.
Yeah, and their attorney, James Bopp, said that in this memo that's circulating. He said, we had wise leaders at the outset, he means himself, who realized that one of the main things we must do is to keep the issue of abortion alive.
See, and they had no way of knowing. You know, they had no way of knowing, unless God told them, what would have been the right thing to do. What we know, you know, the proof is in the pudding. What we know after 3.5 decades of that is that they did not have wise leaders or wise counsel.
Because whatever,
maybe in the very beginning,
whatever pro-life justices we had, whatever judges in the federal judiciary believed that the child had the God-given right to life, we've lost them all. Now, all the pro-life judges are pro-choice.
Right.
All the judges they call pro-life believe that society has the right to legalize abortion. That's the new definition of pro-life, thanks to National Right to Life's leadership. So Tom Tancredo was asked this question on October 9th in Dearborn, Michigan, during a Republican primary debate by Chris Matthews. And he was asking, you know, Rudy Giuliani, he's pro-choice. What, he's going through these claimed pro-life candidates. What if Rudy Giuliani gets the nod? What if he gets the bid? So he asked Mr. Tancredo, would you pledge now to support the nominee of your party? And I really love Tom Tancredo's answer here. He said, I don't know how many times that I've said I'm absolutely sick and tired of being forced to go to the polls and say I'm going to make this choice between the lesser of two evils. I really don't intend to do that again. That's exactly what Dr. James Dobson said on his radio show and in one of these strategy meetings recently. He said, I am hoping, of course, that whomever we nominate will be the principled flag carrier for the Republican Party. Now, it doesn't look like that right now, not by any of the front runners. But if that is not the case, no, then I will not support him.
Well, and I think he was speaking clearly there to Giuliani and maybe even to Mitt Romney, because those guys are so obvious. I mean, Romney with his flip-flopping, one election cycle he's pro-choice, and then he's pro-life, and then here's a vacant body walking around without a soul.
Yeah, without a soul, with a good haircut, hoping to attract enough votes.
Really good haircut.
A really good haircut.
A really good haircut. He's leading all the polls in hairstyle. But the problem is when you get down then to, okay, well, okay, we got past the Giuliani and we got past the Romney problem. Now here's the good, you know, principled person. Whose standard is that person going to be judged as a good principled person by? If it's the National Right to Life standard.
If it's National Right to
again,
Life.
We've made no headway at all.
We know it's someone who's against a human life amendment.
Exactly.
How's that for victory?
Well, and that's what National Right to Life's trying to say. I mean, they've endorsed Fred Thompson.
Right.
Fred Thompson has absolutely no credibility as in the pro-life movement.
No.
And cannot at this point unless he just – I mean, he's going to have to prove something. He's going to have to prove something. I don't even know what he could do at this point because he's
no.
You know, he's this way. And I mean, and saying I have a 100% record with National Right to Life means that you –
Means that you're probably a pro-abort.
Well,
and
that
you
believe
you
in regulating the killing of children because
right.
That's what National Right to Life believes
and
in.
And that's what Planned Parenthood believes in. Planned Parenthood believes in regulating child killing.
Sure, because the regulation allows them then to
stay in business,
to go through the hoops of regulation and make a nice profit at it.
That's right, and it keeps the competition down. And National Right to Life has the same business model. We regulate child killing. That gets rid of all the competition from people who want to assert the God-given right to life, and it keeps the money flowing in. Well, something's going to shake up their world in the coming months, and especially during this primary season. If we look at Mitt Romney, and I'd like us to talk through his record for a moment, because there are many pro-lifers who think, hey, Mitt Romney, he's, you know, he's pro-life. Well, he's pro-choice during the 90s openly.
Right.
Then he heads up the Utah Olympics Committee. And so then he thinks, all right, I've been stuck in Utah here for all this time, and I'm a Mormon. Maybe I should run for the Utah governor's mansion. Maybe I should do that. So he writes a letter to the editor in Salt Lake City, and he says, I am not pro-choice. So he was pro-abortion, pro-choice, his whole career until then. Now he's not pro-choice.
Well, he got out of Utah.
So then he left Utah. He went to Massachusetts. What happened?
Yeah, well, good luck getting elected as a conservative,
pro-life,
you know, so, Republican in Massachusetts.
So he's totally pro-abortion running in Massachusetts and for governor. And he's pro-abortion. Then in 2004, he starts to think about the Republican primary. So he starts to drop hints that he's becoming pro-life. So now he's fully pro-life. Well, he's fully a liar. That's what he is. Mitt Romney is a liar. And he said that he had a conversation with a Harvard researcher about stem cell research. And that's when it dawned on him that he's pro-life.
Oh, and of course, USA Today reports that the researcher sees it differently and says that the lightning bolts didn't strike, and that really wasn't
how
Romney was when he left that conversation that they had.
Yeah, that Romney misreported. He was incorrectly remembering their conversation. So he's not even being truthful about that. And, you know, John Lofton made a good point on this. He said, if you knew nothing at all about any of the particulars, and you just heard that some candidate who's mature in age, he's pro-choice, he believes you could kill babies, then he thought about stem cell research, that this embryo that you can't even see, somehow it dawned on him that speck has the right to life when he supports killing these fully formed babies in the womb, little boys and little girls who are sucking their thumbs and playing with their toes. He's just a liar.
Yeah, it is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, and I mean that in the truest sense of the word. It is unbelievable. It cannot be believed.
Right.
You know, if you think about it for even 3 seconds, you go, it's insulting to your intelligence and to all things that have anything to do with logic.
It is insulting to your intelligence. And then, so he's the governor of Massachusetts. He becomes this pro-life conversion in 2004. Then he has to appoint a district court judge. So what does he do? He chooses a liberal Democrat judge who is known for campaigning openly. He's pro-abortion.
Right.
So he puts him in a district court judgeship. Then he has made statements publicly since then that he supports the right in Massachusetts to have an abortion. So what kind of a pro-life conversion is that? When he's, you know, I really think the child is a baby made in God's image and likeness. I'm a Mormon. I believe in a million gods. So I believe the baby has the right to life. But in Massachusetts, I think you have the right to kill the baby.
But he's got really good hair. And that's what's important here, right? I mean, when you listen to the Republican operatives talking here, okay, well, who's electable? Who's telegenic? Who presents themselves well? It hasn't been this way since Reagan first got elected. And back then, they didn't want to hear his message, but what they couldn't get past was how good he was in front of a camera, and that became the new standard. You saw the Republicans just going through this whole thing with Bill Clinton. I mean, towards the end of Clinton's presidency, after that, you started seeing Republicans run like Clinton. It's all about just, you know, lying here, lying there, just telling people what they want to hear, because nobody in politics is held to account. The only people that seem to be held to account are those that hold themselves accountable. And you see very few times these days when somebody will say, you know what, it's time for me to go. Some people get caught and they just go. But others just say, you know, it's a bump in the road, we'll get past it, and we just keep going. Apparently lying about the issue of being right, you know, of being a pro-life here is not enough anymore to even have people think twice in a Republican primary. Mm. And that's astonishing, because 25 years ago, That was the issue. That was the bright line that you separated everybody on.
Well, who's won with as big a margin as Ronald Reagan has won a presidential race?
Nobody.
And both times he won, I remember his reelection seeing, I still have him on my computer, in fact, the exit polls, the numbers. People were asked, what issues were you voting on? And the number one issue above taxes, above foreign policy, and that's what the Soviet Union and all, above party affiliation, the number one issue was abortion. And Ronald Reagan had this like double-digit lead on people voting over abortion.
Right.
And he was against abortion, no exceptions.
Right. Well, and you know, we always said in the Republican Party when we were always told, well, by being pro-life, you're offending the majority of the party that cares about taxes. And I said, you know, you never find a true pro-lifer that is for higher taxes. Mm. You just don't.
Yeah, right.
You know, but you find a lot of pro-choicers that could care less about higher taxes. Mm. You see that all the time. They're all for putting more money into public education. They're all for putting more money into this government program and that.
Right.
They don't care about, they just don't care about those things that really affect people at the lowest level here.
And Steve, I'd like to bring up Ron Paul for a moment. Obviously, he's had a, many-year love affair with the Libertarian Party, which is an utterly immoral, godless party based on – just go to their website, read their – they're against everything Christian and virtuous they're against and want to – they want to decriminalize every possible form of perversion and wickedness.
Right.
So anyway, Ron Paul's position is, hey, if I am elected and I'm the head of the executive, chief law enforcement officer, I'm going to have nothing to do with abortion, nothing. If people in New York want to kill kids, in California, Massachusetts, they could kill kids. I'm going to turn my back, and I'm going to tell the federal government you can have nothing to say about child killing in America.
Well, Ron Paul has fleas. You lie with dogs, you get fleas. And, I mean, why would anybody take this guy seriously? You know who takes this guy seriously? People that just – I mean, I understand people not liking our government.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that because most of the time I don't like our government. I see how we're spending money.
Right.
I see the things we're doing with it, the perversion. I mean, the ridiculous waste and everything. I don't like it either. But to go to the other extreme and say that mankind has risen to such a place or evolved to such a place that he doesn't need the constraints of either government or God, that he is completely self-sufficient – and that's really the libertarian model.
Yeah,
I will be responsible for myself, and no matter what I do, it's not going to have any adverse effect on you.
Yeah, for Ron Paul to say to the federal judiciary, you guys look the other way if the states want to kill kids. He doesn't have the authority from God to tell even the dog catcher, look the other way when kids are getting killed.
Well, unfortunately, libertarians, for the most part, are conservatives that never grew up.
Never grew up. Sexually immoral conservatives. We're out of time. Steve Curtis, Vice President of American Right to Life, thank you for joining us.
You bet.
Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada. And KGOV, KGOV.com.